Hello, and how is everyone doing today? This is Pastor Romel Moore, and today we're going to be teaching on evangelism. My golden text will be from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, beginning at verse 17. I believe we're going to go through verse 20. So that's Ezekiel, chapter 3, 17 through 20. It reads, "Son of man, I have appointed you as a watchman for Israel. Whenever you receive a message from me, warn people immediately. If I warn the wicked, saying you are under the penalty of death, but you fail to deliver the warning, they will die in their sins, and I will hold you responsible for their death. If you warn them and they refuse to repent and keep on sinning, they will die in their sins, but you will have saved yourself because you obeyed me. If righteous people turn away from their righteous behavior and ignore the obstacles I put in their way, they will die. And if you do not warn them, they will die in their sins. None of their righteous acts will be remembered, and I will hold you responsible for their deaths. But if you warn righteous people not to sin, and they listen to you and do not sin, they will live, and you will have saved yourself too." So I need to make a correction. I read through verse 21. Again, so we're going to be teaching on evangelism. I wanted to start off with Ezekiel chapter 3, dealing with what is affectionately known as the message to or warning of the watchman on the wall. We are, as born again believers, to our family, our neighbors, on our jobs, and our community and nation, we are the watchmen on the wall. Let's look at Mark chapter 16. We're going to read verse 15 and 16. This is also known as the Great Commission. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believe not shall be damned." Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 1 through 12. "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, The kingdom of God has come to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town." Again, we read through verse 9. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. Last but not least, let's look at Acts chapter 20, verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Again, we're going to be talking about evangelism today. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for truth. And I ask that you touch our hearts. Reveal to us your heart of evangelism. I ask, Father God, that you bring us to a place of not just being busy in the church, but being productive and bearing good fruit. I ask that your Holy Spirit move upon every hearer of the word today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Evangelism. Something that is missing in many American churches today. I want to start off by saying, first of all, evangelism is the heart of God. It is not a religious act. It is not something we can do when we feel like it, or, you know, to fill in the gap in our religious activity. Evangelism is the very heart of God. God did not save us to sit. If he was ready for you to enjoy the unthinkable pleasures of heaven in his presence, he would have immediately taken us upon our conversion. He would have snatched us from the earth realm and ushered us into his presence immediately after we gave our hearts to Christ. But he didn't do that. And my question is, why didn't he take us right after our conversion? And the answer is because he has something for us to do. And it is not occupying your pew, your seat in a building. It is saving souls. The heart of God is evangelism. Now, one of the first things I want to say is, based on the golden text, we are the watchmen. Okay? Evangelism simply means to tell your personal testimony or the revelation of the word of God, of his love and his amazing grace, whatever level that is that you have, to share it with other people. Evangelism is the intentional act of telling people about the goodness of Christ in order that they may be saved. And if we are not evangelizing, we are not doing anything. There is nothing, as citizens of the kingdom, that we can do that's more important. Okay, we have to evangelize. So we read about the watchman on the wall, that if basically it was saying, if we do not warn people, how will they know? And if we intentionally close our mouth and they die in their sins, God said, basically, they're going to get what they're going to get, but their blood is going to be on your hand because he placed you strategically in their lives to tell them about God, to warn them about the consequences of dying in their sins. Okay? We're the watchmen on the wall, which means We do not have the option of doing nothing. It will come with consequences, not just to those whom we did not speak to, but there will be personal consequences because we shut our mouth. Now, as a footnote for all you Bible scholars, when the Bible says, when Jesus states that if the salt loses its savor, it is good for nothing but to be trampled under the foot of men. If you look up savor, S-A-V-O-R, I believe that's the King James rendering of it. It literally means to close the mouth, which means that the way that the salt does its job in the lives of those around us, the way that we apply the saltiness that God have put on the inside of us as citizens of the kingdom is by opening our mouth and telling others of the grace, the mercy, the love, and forgiveness of Christ. And the way that the salt loses its savor is when you close your mouth. Okay? That was free. That was a footnote for those of you that's really into getting into the text of the Word of God. Now, if your church does not evangelize, now I know some people say, Pastor, you kind of rough around the edges. And I am. That's how God made me. As far as being frank, unpretentious, I'm just going to tell it how it is in a raw. So my heart is right, but I can only say it the way that I see it. So forgive me. I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm not trying to agitate anyone. I can only give you the revelation of the word that I have. So let me say this again. If your church does not evangelize, I have to ask this question. Why are the doors of the church even open? And then I have to go on and ask, and why are you attending and supporting it? No. I think it's a valid question. If you understand that evangelism is the heart of God, if you understand that you were not saved to sit, and if you understand that the purpose of the church is to evangelize, that's the number one purpose of the church outside of the worship of God, is to evangelize the community. If you're at a church and you see little to nothing of authentic evangelism, see, evangelism, it's a shame that I have to say this, but let me tell you what evangelism is not, so we don't have any murky ground there. Evangelism is not waiting for the world to come to your church and sit and listen to your message and the benediction at the end of the message and the world respond to the call of Christ at the end of that message. Someone may be saved within that construct, but that's not evangelism. Evangelism is found when we just read, go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Look at what he didn't say. He didn't say build a church and wait for the world to come to you to hear the gospel of the kingdom. I have to ask, why do we do it backwards? God never said in his word for the world to come to the church. What he stated over and over in scripture is for the church to go to the world. So I have to ask again, why do we give our loyalty, our time, our talent, and our treasure to to places who are doing it backwards, to places, to ministry, to churches who have set up a building and waiting for the world to come to them. And the only ones that may get saved, healed, or delivered are the ones that come to you. When in essence, God have given you his word, his anointing, his nature, his power, his spirit, his gifts, his ability, his fruit, his armor, his angels, his kingdom, so that wherever you go, all of that, all of the riches that I just named that comes with the kingdom of God goes with you. But why is it in America that we do it backwards? We have all of those riches I just named and we hoard it up in a particular location. And if the world don't stumble upon our location, they will never experience all the riches that we offer them, the eternal life, the salvation, the peace, all of that that we have, our inheritance as citizens of the kingdom. We have all of that, and God gave it to us so we can go into all the world, but we keep it and we wait for the world to come to us. I have to ask, where did we go wrong? Who told us to do it that way? Who told us to do it the opposite of what scripture commanded? I'm just saying, this ain't deep to me. It's written in black and white. The few scriptures we just went over had all to do with getting up and being about God's business. Why is it that we have chosen to localize, hoard up, and wait for the world to come to us? I'm just saying. So, we have a mandate from heaven. It's called the Great Commission. Jesus did not leave any loopholes or exceptions to the rule when it came to going into all the world. There's not one loophole in scripture. There's not one exception in scripture. This is why we were saved, so that we could save others. Because evangelism is the very heart of God. Salvation, getting others saved, is the very heart of God. And it's supposed to be the heart of any ministry who have opened its doors. Now, God did not give us his only begotten son for us to be lazy and have nice religious services. Doing nothing is not an option. We have to understand that this is about life and death. And this is why I used as the golden text the declaration of the watchman on the wall in Ezekiel chapter 3, because it's about life and death. Where will we spend eternity? Now, evangelism is not to be done out of fear. Speaking of when we intentionally evangelize, God does not want us to do it out of fear. He don't want us to read Ezekiel chapter 3 and say, oh my God. Now, not the fear as in, you know, just because there's consequences behind it. Even though there's an element there that we read, because if we don't warn them, the blood would be on our hand. Now, what that entails when we stand before God, I don't know. It could just be the sheer heartbreak emotions of watching that person or persons go into eternal damnation and we knew we had the opportunity and ability to potentially change their course. And we have to live with that. I don't know if there's any consequences other than that, which is pretty heavy. Fear should not be our motivating factor. Love should be. The love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, of His mercy and His grace for humanity. That should be our motivating factor. It is the ultimate, speaking of evangelism, it's the ultimate expression of God's grace and mercy toward us. I have to ask, why would you let your loved ones, friends, neighbors, community, and ultimately nation leave this life without knowing the saving power of God? We will not be able to tell God when we stand before Him that we were too busy. We will not be able to tell the Lord when we stand before Him, I was raising my kids. I was pursuing my career. I was going to school. I was getting my business off the ground. I was going through a divorce and was heartbroken. I was dealing with sickness, disease, and adversity. We won't be able to tell the Lord that. So that means we need to do something about it. The Bible says, redeem the time. No, we say we love the people that's in our life, but how can you say you love them and at the same time willing to allow them to die and potentially go to hell because you chose not to tell them about the saving grace of Christ? I have to add here, when it comes to evangelism, let's just deal with a few things. Let's talk about going door to door. As we just read, Paul said house to house. Who said that Jehovah Witnesses began door-to-door ministry, therefore, that, you know, that's something they do in the church, don't need to do it? Where's that? Where's that found in history? Mormons then began door-to-door ministry. Jesus' disciples and the first church did. It is our legacy. Who told us to stop doing it? Let me add here why we need to do door-to-door ministry. Because when people choose to get up on Sunday morning and make an effort to come to a particular house of worship, there's a lot of things that take them out of their element and can produce a mask or masking or almost hypocritical environment. Because everyone don't have nice Sunday clothes to wear. So the pressure, especially in certain ethnic denominations, the pressure when you think of going to the house of God, the pressure of just the external, what am I going to wear, especially in certain neighborhoods where they really get dressed up. See, so how can you get to the heart and essence of that person or that family or that couple when they're already taken out of their element just to look the part? So we have a lot of unspoken rules that harm us when it's time to evangelize. Okay. And then, of course, because most churches do not go a service without soliciting finances from people, so they have to deal with that. If they're poor, if they're going through a hard time, they have to deal with the reality of it's going to come a time to give and the embarrassment with that. So there can be some embarrassment with what they're wearing. There can be some embarrassment with the lack of funds. It can be some embarrassment with the type of car that they drove to church in. There's so many things that we need to think about that takes people, that causes people to put up walls when it comes to them attending a church. I can go on and on about that, but I believe you got where I was trying to go with that. Now let's look at the opposite of that. Let's look at the way that God designed it to occur, which was for those of us who have God, who have His Spirit, who have His anointing, who have His power, who has His glory and His presence, who has His word, who has His love and His nature and His personality and His character, who have the riches of His kingdom. Imagine when we take that into the comfort of their home, where there's no pressure about what they're wearing, when there's no pressure about how much money they make and what they're going to give, when there's no pressure about their socioeconomic status in life. When the doorbell rings and when there's a knock on the door, because everyone is going through something. Everyone. And when we go out of our way and we bring it to their home, and they allow us into the comfort of their own home, there are no more walls up. See, God understood this when He told us to go. And when they open up that door and you not bring in religion, not talking about who the bishop is, not naming names, only the name of Jesus, that we're in the community praying for families. May we pray for your family. I'm telling you what I know. There's very few people that's going to tell you no. Now, you might go at a bad time and get a no, but I promise you, everybody going through something, and most of the time they think it's a miracle that you even thought about them. When they let you in the home, it is so easy for them to get a breakthrough, because there's not no strange eyes and people that they don't know, as it is in a church service looking at them. See, all of these other factors that causes people to be reluctant and to move slow when it comes to answering the call of God, all of that is eliminated when you take the kingdom to their home. There's nothing I'd rather do than door-to-door ministry. Hear me. When Jesus said, "The works that I do, you shall do also in greater works," because He was going back to His Father. You will see the fulfillment of that when you take the gospel to the streets. You will see very little, if any, of that when you hoard up the riches of God's kingdom in the church. If we just do it the Bible way, we would get Bible results. And for some reason, we do it our way, then have the nerve to complain to God about the lack of results. He told us what to do in black and white. If you have the heart of God, you would do what He tell you to do. Okay? So evangelism is the very heart of God. When you go door to door, when you take the riches of the kingdom to people's home, you will see the dead raised. You will see instant deliverance. You will see instant healings. You will see people break right before your eyes. You will see home after home, family after family come to Christ. Say, well, what if they don't ever join the church? Well, they did join the church. If they confess their sins and they and ask Christ into their heart, they join God's church. They may not join your church. And that may be a good thing. So we have to deal with the reality of that when we truly understand the mess that's going on in churches and how perverted it is. And I'm not speaking of just sexual perversion, but perversion of scripture. For instance, Paul spends a whole chapter instructing us on when and where we're supposed to speak in tongues. He told us, do not speak in an open public service where non-believers may attend. He said, don't speak. Don't speak in your heavenly tongue. First of all, you don't even know what you're saying. So he was saying the world is going to think that you're mad. So don't do that. And he said, only time is allowed to speak in tongues during a service where believers and non-believers are attending is when it is accompanied with the interpretation of it, because that is equivalent to prophecy. Okay. There was a word that went forth that we understand. But when all they hear is you don't know what you're saying and they don't either. So why are you saying it? Paul spent a whole chapter in Corinthians on this. Yet we still do it. Some of you under the sound of my voice, hearing me say it right now, you know what the scripture says and you still got a problem that I'm bringing it up. That's an issue. And I said that to say this. This is why some people don't need to come to church, because they do not need to experience the lack of understanding, the ignorance, and the outright rebellion of scripture that many of us still do, regardless of what the word of God says. Now, if we go door to door and get them saved, healed, and delivered, guess what? Go back to their home to disciple them. It is not our job to clean the fish, to fry the fish, or eat the fish. It is only our job to catch the fish. Religion has us doing everything else but catching the fish. That's the Holy Ghost's job. Go. Greatest message ever preached was one word, go. It's time for us to get up and go. Go get them. Go get your neighbors. Go get your coworkers. Go get your family members. Go get your community for Christ. We can't continue to do nothing. If you want the results, do it God's way. What am I trying to say? Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Because the heart of God is evangelism. The heart of God is evangelism. The heart of God is evangelism. Let me ask you this. Do you think God would rather you have another church service or go out and telling total strangers about the goodness of Jesus? Do you think God would rather you attend choir rehearsal to sing another song or out feeding the hungry and clothing the naked? Do you think God would rather you sit in on another conference or be in the prisons, juvenile facilities, teen pregnancy crisis centers, convalescent homes, telling kids in the community about Jesus Christ? Now, if your answer is the latter in any of those questions, I have to ask, why aren't you doing it? You will not be able to tell God how great your church services were, how beautiful your choir sang, or how awesome your pastor preached. Jesus said, we would know the tree by the fruit it bears. If we aren't saving souls, we aren't doing anything. It is time for us to stop playing church and having church. It is time for us to be the church. God bless you.